Good morning. We welcome you to our 9:40 service. I love it when we come in and visit one another. This is a wonderful place to be on Sunday morning, isn't it? We're glad to have you here. If you are visiting with us, we are particularly glad to have you. And we invite you at the end of the service to go over to our information station where we have a gift for you and information about our church. Our mission box offering today is to assist those who are victims of the hurricane in the Northeast, Hurricane Sandy. As you know, the devastation was just unbelievable. And we want to do our part. So let's give at the end of the service by placing your offerings in the mission boxes around the outside of the worship center. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, we have a service that we call Moments of Joy. It's for people who have members of their family or dear friends who have dementia. And it's become a very meaningful service for many, many people. So I encourage you to come, if you'd like, at 2 o'clock this afternoon for the Moments of Joy. Each Sunday, we welcome each other by saying, "Welcome home." Why are we here? To worship God. Let's take a moment and pray as we begin our worship time together. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship, for an opportunity to be in this place, to celebrate the gospel. Bless everything that happens in this place, and may it glorify your holy name. Amen.
Morning. I have Amberly and Ashlyn up here helping me sing. Would you stand as we join in the singing of God of this City and How Great Thou Art? Do you start it?
God of this city, you're the
faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he arose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated.
Friends, in just a minute or two, there they are. Names are now appearing on the screens. If you will please keep these individuals in your thoughts and prayers. There may be some additional names that we're unaware of. And we invite you to submit those names to the church and just get those persons on your heart now as we together go to the Lord in prayer. As the musician plays softly, if you feel comfortable grabbing the hand of your neighbor as a sign of unity in the faith, feel free to do so now. And let's bow our heads and close our eyes and together go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we come to you this morning. We thank you, O God, for the weather, the dew that rests upon the grass. We pray that the Holy Spirit will rest upon us in a similar fashion this morning. Father, we do invoke and invite your presence to be with us. And God, we ask for a special anointing this morning. An anointing that will open our ear cavities and open our hearts that we receive a word from you. And God, that worshipful Lord may meet you where you are. Help us to respond to you the way you deserve to be responded to. You've been so good to us. We remember those, O Lord, who are rebuilding their lives up north, God. We pray for the families who are grieving right now due to the deaths, so many deaths and devastation, oh God. But we know that you're at work there, and we pray, oh Lord, for more and more resources to flood that area. Help them, oh Lord, in their time of need. Bless us, oh God, to do our part. And God, speaking of our part, God, we thank you for how you're using us in so many amazing ways throughout this city and abroad. We thank you for the leadership of this church. We thank you for our fearless leader, Dan Johnson, in his absence. Be with him. And God, we pray for marriages and families, oh Lord. We pray that you'll keep us strong and reminded of who we are in you and what you've called us, oh Lord, to accomplish in such a time as this. And now, oh God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever we pray. Amen.
Next Sunday, we conclude our stewardship event, which we have entitled, More Blessed to Give. I realized when we were coming up on that last Sunday that for the last 40-plus years, I have been leading stewardship events in churches in the South Georgia Conference and here, and this would be the last one that I lead. It's kind of a bittersweet time for me, but it's also a time for us to remember how important it is that we give and that we give generously. If you have not mailed your pledge card in, we invite you and encourage you to bring it with you next Sunday and place it in the baskets that we'll have around the sanctuary during our closing hymn next Sunday. So please, if you have not mailed them in, bring them with you next week. Those are important as we prepare our budget for next year. One of the many things that I love about this church is that we have a good sense of humor. And you're about to see a video that I think is really, really funny. The Bible teaches that we give a tithe, and this is entitled The Tithe Rap. Now, just before we decided to show this video, Dan came to me one day and said, I'd like for you and me and David to do what these fellows do. I took a look at it and I said, nah, don't think we can do that. But enjoy this. This is really funny.
This economy, accountants get a really bad rap.
Bad rap.
You know, we thought we weren't going to fight it. We're just going to claim that. And so we are redeeming the bad rap that accountants get.
Well, this doesn't feel good. Perhaps I'm best off with giving a little distance to this moment.
No. Unless you want to join us, yo.
No.
What's up, people?
What's up?
Yo, White Teeth in the house.
They call me Nelson.
Yeah, that little man up in here. Every day in the mail, I get nothing but bills. I could rap all day about my financial ills. Money comes in and goes right back out. I know that you know what I'm talking about. My wife just keeps cranking up the heat. And three times a day, my kids want to eat. Creeper!
But listen up now to what I got to say. What I do every Friday when I get my pay. Before I buy the groceries or pay the rent, I gotta give God his full 10%. He gives me 100, I give back 10. And I'm blessed all day from beginning to end. Running man.
Take a move.
Don't have a clue what tomorrow will bring. But I know God's the giver of all good things. He's got the 411 on all of my needs. And God's got it all covered, so it ain't on me. Take it straight off the top. That's the way it's gotta be. And everything is good between God and me.
New kid.
When I say 100, you say 10. 100.
10.
100.
10. Now when we say 100, you say 10. 100. 100. Now it ain't complicated, let me give you a hint. A tithe ain't nothing but 10%.
And I may not be the sharpest dude in the joint, but I know how to move a decimal point.
I'm a tither now, cause that's how I roll. I'm a grateful child on the Father's dole.
Have a tithe. What's your excuse? You can't play God's money fast and loose.
And where's your heart? Just follow the cash. I'm storing up mine in the heavens.
When God gives 100, you give back 10. And be blessed all day from beginning to end.
Walk it out.
Freestyle.
When we say 100, you say 10. 100. 100.
That's right. When we say 100, you say 10.
100. 100. Peace out.
Next year, Dan, David, and I are going to do that. We weren't quite ready this year. Anyway, wasn't that funny? Let's stand and greet somebody you didn't come to church with and wish them welcome to Trinity this morning. A moment to pray over our offering this morning. Let us bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of giving. We pray that as we give to help those who are the victims of the storm, that that money may be used to restore lives and restore order. We pray that we might give generously to the budget of this church so that we might continue in effective ministry here in this community and around the world. Bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come on, let's hear it again for the cheer dancers. Outstanding. Also for Susan Horn, who's just doing a phenomenal job in leadership. And thank you so much for all of what you bring to the table. Thank you. Thank you. So good to be with you this morning. Let me just scoot this over here quickly. And let's also give it up for Sunlight, who was representing very well this morning. Praise God. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. What a joy it is to be with you in the context of worship this morning, standing behind this sacred desk. This morning I'm going to be preaching from a very simple premise and a very simple thought. Some things are worth the wait. And I'll be pulling from two passages of Scripture. One is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. That's going to be the main text. And in addition to that, the book of Isaiah 53, very familiar passage of Scripture. So that's going to come on the screens in just a minute. We're going to start right there in Isaiah. Before we go any further, let's just pause for a brief moment of prayer. I want to invite you at this time just to bow your heads with me now as we go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for an opportunity to hear your word. And God, we thank you for those whom you have called to preach and share your word. God, we do invoke and invite a special anointing to be present today that we may hear more from you regarding salvation. Reach us, oh God. So many of us are going through difficult times and circumstances. And God, we pray that this word will minister in a profound way. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my radical redeemer. The people of God agreed in prayer and said, amen, amen, amen. Can you all hear me out there? All right, all right. Well, if we can just get into Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. I really love the King James Version on this. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And now for Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 14, I just want to read these verses to give you a little more of the background and the context of where we're going this morning. And this is talking about Jesus by way of salvation. If you know anything about Hebrews, it's classical theology by way of the Old Testament and Old Century priest compared to Jesus Christ, who is our eternal priest. So listen carefully to these words. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Amen. And here's the main text. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but rather to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. Once again, that last little verse. He did not come to bear sin again, but rather he came to bring us salvation to those of us who are waiting for him. Once again, the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to Almighty God. Friends, the story was told of a bartender who was working long hours. And he said to himself, I've been working all these long hours. You know, I'm going to cut out 2 hours early today. And so something in his heart says, no, you need to just endure this full shift. And so he decided to hang on and complete his shift. And within the last 15 minutes, a guy came up to the bar who was just tanning around the pool deck and ordered a pina colada. Okay, so he orders his drink, he gets his drink, and on the way back to where he was tanning, he tripped over a chair and fell head first into the pool, the deep end of the pool. And the bartender chuckled at first, and then he realized this guy's coming back up. He doesn't know how to swim. So the bartender jumped over the bar area and into the pool and rescued this guy and began to perform CPR on this guy. And when finally this guy gets his balance back and his bearings back, he says to the bartender, "Hey, what do I tip you for something like that?" And then the bartender says to him, "Do you mean the pina colada or do you mean your life?" Friends, I tell you that story really for two simple reasons. First of all, thank God that some things in life are worth the wait. Thank God the bartender didn't leave his post. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. But he was dedicated and determined and he stayed to his post. Some things are worth the wait. The second reason I tell you that story is simply because of this. It gives us a wonderful question to ask God every day. Lord, what can I give you today for saving my life? What can I give you this day for saving my life? How many of you realize that everything that we own comes from the Lord? I know we work hard and we go to school and we have businesses, etc., but God gave us everything that we have. The strength in your body, the intelligence in your brain, everything about you and everything that we've received comes from the Lord. Amen, church? Everything that we have comes from the Lord. And so we owe God our everything. Now, I want to take you back to that story because if you paid attention to the series of events within that story, the bartender, first of all, entered the pool. Second of all, he offered his services. And thirdly, he obtained this man's life. And if you pay attention to the flow of Hebrews, that's the same flow and that's the same series of what we see Jesus doing on our behalf. Jesus entered into the tabernacle that was not made by man. In other words, he entered into heaven, the perfect place. And he didn't just enter there, but he offered himself. Verse 12 says it this way, he did not enter by the means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood. He didn't use the blood of bulls and goats, but it was by way of his own blood that he entered. So he entered, he offered, and finally, he obtained. Verse 15 says it this way, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So he entered, he offered, and he obtained. Can you remember that? He entered. He offered and he obtained. And now the question is, David, what did he actually obtain? I'm glad you asked. He obtained salvation for us. He obtained redemption for us. He obtained access to God for us. You see, back in the fall, back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve experienced the fall, there became a huge chasm between man and God. And somebody had to pay the penalty for the sin committed. God looked around and there was no one else who could pay the debt of sin except Jesus himself. That's why John recognizes him as, John will say it this way, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He's the sacrificial Lamb of God and he is the bridge that has now bridged this gap. He is the bridge that restored relationship back unto the Father. So many of us, we have access to God by way of the Son. That's good news. It's even better news when you hear it this way. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for your past sins, your present sins, catch this, and your future sins. That's shouting news. I don't see anybody shouting, but that's really shouting news. He paid for your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. You say, "Well, David, what else were we saved from?" I'm glad you asked all these great questions this morning. He saved us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the practice of sin. Are you getting this morning?
And so as I struggled this week, here's why I struggled. Hurricane Sandy came and just blew me away. Because as I studied the Hebrew text, salvation in a classical sense is neatly kept in the context of dealing with our sin issue on the cross. Amen, church? It deals with the sin issue. Okay? And then I begin to think about the 5.4 million who were out of power. And I thought about those long, long lines, and I thought about the power lines that were down and the floodwaters that were way up. Thought about lives that were lost in Seaside Heights. Their houses looked like matchboxes in a sandbox. I thought about the death and the devastation, and I begin to wonder, how does your salvation, Lord, translate to them? Yes, it's wonderful that he died on the cross for our sins, but I'm hungry right now. Cold right now. I'm dealing with grief due to a death right now. Where is salvation now, David? I struggled with that as I read, and then it dawned on me. What Jesus did on the cross didn't end there. Amen, church? How many of you realize it continues through the church? It continues through people like Mike. Did you all see CNN, the segment where Mike, his house was demolished and destroyed and flooded, and Mike put on his wetsuit, and he pulled out a canoe with two paddles, and he began to go to people who needed rescuing. And in a 1 to 2 seater canoe, he began to rescue people, take them back to safety. And for from Tuesday on, he was rescuing people, walking in the water with his wetsuit. And I paint that picture because that's what Jesus has done for you and I. Through his death on the cross, he has rescued us from damnation. Amen, church? Let me tell you another quick story here. The story was told about John Wesley. A lot of you may not know, but John Wesley is by far, he's the founder of the Methodist Church. He was one of 19 kids. Can you believe that? I don't know what was in the drinking water back then, but he was one of 19 kids. 19, think about that. 19 kids. Anyway, the story was told that one day a rectory caught on fire. Samuel was a pastor. His mom raised him in the scriptures, etc. And one member who was disgruntled with John Wesley's dad set their house ablaze. John Wesley was the last one in the house, and he was up on the second floor. Are you following me? And so they created a human ladder, and they plucked him from the fire by way of this human ladder. How many of you have heard that story before? And now John Wesley is known as a brand plucked from the fire. And when they saved him, his mom looked at him and dad looked at him and said, this boy must have a divine purpose. There's no way in the world he could have survived that fire. And sure enough, voila, today we have now what? The Methodist Church. What am I saying to you? Salvation is really the transaction. It's the taking away of a need, and it's the giving of fulfillment. I love that. Salvation is the taking away of a problem and the giving of a solution. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. But I want to just take you back to my tension that I struggled with. And here's where I landed regarding the situation up north and what the scripture is pronouncing by way of the good news we find on the cross. Here's where I landed. Three quick points. Here's the first point. Death is a certainty. Death is a certainty. There are only two accounts in scriptures where men did not die, and that was in Hebrews 11 and 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. That's one account. And the other is in 2 Kings, the story of Elijah. As they were walking, he and Elisha were walking and talking together, and suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. There are no other accounts. So unless your cousins are related to Elijah or Enoch, there's a possibility that you're going to die. I hate to break that to you that way, but death is a certainty. Let's move on. Death is a certainty. Here's the second point. Judgment is a reality. Can you follow that? Death is a certainty. Judgment is a reality. How do you know that? Well, 1 Peter tells us, for it is time for judgment to begin where? At the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? Ecclesiastes 12 and 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Third point, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Judgment is a reality. Here's the third point, which is the good news for this morning. Salvation is a possibility. Amen, church? Death is a certainty. We can't do anything about it. Judgment is a reality. We can't do anything about it. Salvation is a possibility. Romans 10 and 9 says it this way. If you confess with your mouth and if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the grave, you shall be saved. Huge underline, if, conditional. If you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you shall be saved. Salvation is a possibility. And we saw the manifestation of that possibility in New York when people were carrying flood buckets and people were cooking for one another and rescue units were moving in and families were finally trying to rebuild their lives together. What am I saying? Salvation is manifested through the church. In other words, you and I are the hands and feet of the living God. We've been honored to and chosen with a sacred work. Peter says we're of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Salvation continues. It just didn't stop on the cross, but it continues through you and I today. Jesus, in that last little text, if you can bring up Hebrews 27 and 28, let's go back through the series of that text again. Just as people are destined to die, there it is. Death is a certainty once, and after that, to face judgment. Judgment is a reality. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, here it is, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation. Here it is. For those who are waiting for him. Did you catch that? Salvation will be brought forth for those who are waiting for him. And so that bothered me a little bit. What do you mean? So for the people who aren't waiting for him, they aren't going to be saved? And when I begin to look into the word wait, the Greek interpretation of wait, it means apekdekomai. You know what that means? It means to eagerly wait. To wait with eager expectation. I remember that, when Trinity, my kids were being born, Trinity, Nigel, and Zaire. And I could just see it as clear as the, I was right there by Courtney eagerly waiting for Trinity to come forth. I remember the day I got married and the preacher was just taking too long and I was just eagerly waiting for him to come on. Eagerly waiting. And so the Lord wants us to eagerly wait for him. How many of you like fine dining, going out to nice restaurants? I love the restaurants that even before you walk through the door, the waitresses and the waiters, they're working but they're watching. They're folding napkins, they're washing out glasses, they're wiping down the tables, but all along they're watching to serve you. That's what the church has to do today. We can't just sit on our behinds and wait and be entertained by current events. The Lord wants us working, waiting eagerly for his return. Amen, church? So it means to eagerly wait. It means to eagerly wait. So we watch and we work and we worship as well as wait his return. So just to back it up again, death is a certainty. Judgment is a reality. Salvation is a possibility. And I pray in the name of Jesus that if you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord today, that before this service is done, you will make it up in your heart and mind to receive him as such. As I transition now to communion, I want to just tell you a quick story. I was invited to preached at a banquet. A prominent church here in the area invited me, and I know the son because he is my barber, and every 2 weeks or so we have great fellowship. We, always talking about the word, etc., and ministry plans, evangelism ideas, etc. And he says, David, I want you to come minister at our banquet. They were celebrating 16 years, etc. And I was honored because this guy, is just a phenomenal leader by way of scripture and representing the church. And so I was honored, and I'm more honored to be in the company of his dad. And so I preached at the banquet, and then we went out at this restaurant and had some great food around the table, and Courtney and I were there with he and his wife, and I was just honored to be in this guy's presence because of the great job he's doing in the community. And it dawned on me, David, the only reason you have access to this guy's father is because of
His Son. The only reason you're sitting at the table with the Father is because of the sacrifice that Dad's Son made. He initiated an invitation. And Jesus, my friends, in communion, initiates an invitation. The only reason we have access to the Father by way of His broken body and shed blood is because of His Son. And the sacrifice His Son made on behalf of you and I. So as you prepare your hearts to receive Holy Communion this morning, I pray that you remember to honor the Lord with your service, to honor the Lord through worshiping Him, watching and eagerly waiting His return, and at the same time working on His behalf to help others learn who He is. Will you pray with me now? Gracious God, we do thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for what You did on the cross, how You canceled the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and even the practice of sin. We thank You, O God, for the access, O Lord, for the access that You've given us through unto the Father, all by way of Your sacrifice. And Lord, in obedience, we do remember You. And that's why, O God, we share now within this holy and sacred meal, which is the holiest and the highest feast of the church. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would the ushers be prepared to come? Will you please bring down the communion liturgy up? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, gave thanks, and broke the bread, gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body broken for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of Me." Likewise, when the great supper was over, He took the cup and He gave thanks to you for the cup, blessed the cup, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with Your Holy Spirit, in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Brian, will you come and help me serve the elements this morning?
Lord of all, one cup of blessing.
Take the body of Christ broken for you and feast on him by faith. And I as well take the cup of Christ, the cup of our salvation, the blood of Christ shed for you. Drink in faith. Gracious God, we do thank you for this holy mystery. We thank you for the gift of Holy Communion that continues to give through our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you also for your death on the cross. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the love of God, the Lordship and leadership and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Go in peace.
Sweet, sweet.